We're about to go somewhere. You're going to get a brief excerpt of the manifest program from the International Prophetic Summit 2023, White Lightning, the King Messiah and his battle map. Now, you only get a little bit. The main meat comes later. I apologize you don't always get that, but maybe this will give you a taste of what the word says. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11, concerning Jesus returning. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. There's the white horse. Where do we get the lightning? Matthew 24, as lightning shines into the east, so shines into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. You may not be aware of this. There have been or will be three appearings of Jesus Christ. The first appearing was at his birth. He appeared on the planet during his birth. The second appearing will be the rapture, which is not known to the world, which is a date kept secret known only to the Father. And the third appearing is going to be a public appearing. And this is the one where the Bible says, every eye shall see him. And this will be called the second coming. Now, this coming that we're going to talk about is not the rapture. This rapture, I think, is pre-trib. That's my opinion. And then this event is at the end of the tribulation, and it's known as the second coming. My friends in the Seventh-day Adventist Church call it the second advent, which that word advent means second arrival. And some call it the return. And in the old days, it was called the pre-millennial, before the millennium, second coming of Christ. So it is known by different terms. Now, in the book of Genesis, God gave the very first prophecy on the planet when he said these words, I will put enmity between you and the woman, between her seed and your seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and you shall bruise his heel. That is a prophecy about the Messiah who would defeat the powers of Satan. So that's the first prophecy in the Bible, Genesis 3. Now, the next prophecy in the Bible is so unique because this man gave a prophecy before Jesus was ever born, thousands of years before he was born. And he gives this really powerful prophecy, and the man's name is Enoch. He is the seventh generation from Adam, and he's translated to heaven in the year 988 after Adam. So he didn't, before the first 1,000 years of humanity. Listen to the prophecy found in the book of Jude. Now, Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. There wasn't even 10,000s of his saints on the earth at the time. It's a prophecy to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have committed in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken. So this man, seven from Adam, goes to heaven alive, was never saw death, somewhere around 988 AD, 988 years after Adam, seventh from Adam, gives a prophecy about the Messiah. Says he's coming to earth, he's coming with 10,000s of his saints, and when he comes, he executes judgment. If you want to know where that's at in the Bible, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. It gives you the whole, we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, either troubled by spirit or word or a letter from us, that the day of the Lord is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day will not come, except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who exalted above himself all that's called God, and he as God will sit in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember when I was with you, I told you these things. Now you know what is restraining him, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity is already working. Only he who now restrains will continue to restrain until he be taken out of the way. And then that wicked one shall be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. That's what Enoch talked about. And that's what Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So this event that Jude is talking about is not the rapture of the church. This is the second advent, or the return to the Lord, at the end of the tribulation period. Now, if you want to know where that is found in detail in the New Testament, Revelation chapter 19, one of my favorite verses, verse 11 through 15. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. There's the white horse. And he that sat upon him was called faithful and true. In righteousness, he judges and make wars. His eyes is like a flaming fire. On his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no man knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood. Now stop right there. I used to say his robe was dipped in his blood. It was not. That robe, as I'm going to show you, is dipped in human blood from where he has been fighting. I'll prove it from the Bible. Okay? He had a garment dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven That's the angels and us, the saints coming back that Jude talked about, followed him on white horses, all right? Clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And it says this, out of his mouth goes a sharp two-edged sword, that's his word, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule the world of the nations with a rod of iron. So, Jesus will come back. There was a man, I want to share this very quickly. Some of you saw my YouTube video on this. It's absolutely a fabulous story. And I put some of his story in our new book, which is The Journey Through Eternity. And you're going to read it later. But this man had heart surgery. And he had an angel come by, took him out of his body. He went to heaven. Most interesting thing, he saw people that had died that he didn't even know existed till he got back and asked relatives about. And they were there in heaven. But what he did see was he saw horses. He said, these were the strongest horses you've ever seen. And all of them had a breastplate on in another language. And he said to the angel with him, he said, what does that say? And he says, in your language, it says faithful and true. And he realized, you ready for this? He realized these were the horses the saints are riding back on at the Battle of Armageddon. He saw them in heaven. And he said there was a man teaching them, and when he would raise his hand, it's just like something in a movie, but it was real. The horse could literally go up in the air and stand at midair and move its legs like it was exercising, and then it would come down, and he would do that way, and they would turn this way, and he would do that way, and they would turn that way, just by the motion of the hand. And some of them had riders on them as though they were practicing riding. And he said, how come some of them have riders and some don't? And the angel said, is the ones that don't have riders is because they haven't got here yet. He told me that. We were at a restaurant. And I like to flip the table over in Jesus' name. Oh, that's what. How exciting that is. All right. So what I want to share with you is this. When Jesus comes back on the white horse, there's a little clue verse in there I gave you just a moment ago. He had a vesture which was dipped in blood. I always thought it was his own blood, and it represented redemption in the covenant. That's probably what most of you thought. I'm going to show you a verse in the Bible that it is the blood of a battle he has been in. And I'm going to show you that we've always talked about one battle. You all know what it is. The battle of Armageddon. Look at you. You know it. The battle of Armageddon. But did you know that Jesus' battle, his war map, is not just Armageddon? Do you know that his map is three different locations? And do you know that two of them, he does it all by himself? And the Armageddon one is the one that we participate in. If you want to go there with me tonight, clap your hands and let us know. You're ready to go there. Now, the first battle that we talk about in prophecy is the battle of Armageddon. Here's the verse that we use, Revelation 16:16, which says this. It says, and he gathered them together in a place in the Hebrew tongue called Armageddon. And this is the armies of the world at the last battle, which is called the mother of all battles. It is located in Israel in what is called the Valley of Jezreel. The Hebrew word Jezreel means God sows. It's mentioned 32 times in the Bible. It actually refers to two places, but there's also two people by that name. Now, the valley itself, which I've been to over 40 times, is 200 miles square. It's a flat valley. It used to be a swamp. Today, it is nothing but farmland and homes and businesses along the way. Megiddo itself is called a tell. In Hebrew, that means a mound of an archaeological excavation where a city once existed. The tell of, who's been with me to the tell of Megiddo? Raise your hand. Well, most of you know that the tell of Megiddo was the chariot center for King Solomon. It was also a chariot center in King Ahab's time. So it's a very old place. Now, the interesting thing about the area of Megiddo, and I'm giving you a kind of a summary here, is that numerous battles throughout world history have been fought in this valley. In fact, the Valley of Megiddo is the one place in the earth that has had more battles than anywhere possibly on the entire planet. Every empire of prophecy passed through there. Every empire of prophecy had some form of conflict at some time in the Valley of Megiddo, there in the center of Israel. And I'm going to tell you something interesting. If you watched my YouTube video from Nazareth, I don't know if you saw this or not, but you go look this up. I stood at Nazareth and I said, let me tell you something about Nazareth. When Jesus grew up in this town, he got there when he was about 3 to 4 years of age, we assume, and he left there at 30 years of age to start his ministry, which means he lived there for quite some time. But did did you know in the old city of Nazareth that was built on a hill, if Jesus got up and looked out his window, or if he got up and stood on the hill, do you know what was directly in front of him? The Valley of Megiddo. For all his life growing up, he would look out his window. He would stand on a hill and he could meditate and see that massive valley called the Valley of Jezreel and realize, one day I'm coming back to this place. It's true. You see that when you're there. Yeah, that's why going to Israel is important, because you can connect the Bible together. So I'm going to now take you to the prophets that talk about the return of the Lord. We have a scripture again to show you here that you can follow me with this verse of scripture. It's Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14, verses 3 through 4. Now pay careful attention to the next three verses I'm going to read. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand upon the Mount of Olives, which lies in Jerusalem on the east, and the mountain shall split in two parts, one part to the east, one to the west. There'll be a very great valley, and half the mountain shall be removed toward the north, and half toward the south. So we know that's when he goes to Megiddo, then steps on the Mount of Olives with the armies of heaven, and that's where he returns to Jerusalem. However, in the Amplified Version of the book of Isaiah, Isaiah starts talking about how that he has tread the winepress alone. Now, in the word winepress, in the prophecy of Isaiah, you discover that winepress of the wrath of God is used in the book of Revelation by the Apostle John to describe God's wrath being poured out on the earth. And we're going to talk about blood to the horse's bridle. We're going to read that verse. But this is what the prophet Isaiah said about the Messiah coming back. Why is your apparel splashed with red? And your garments like the one who treads the winepress? For I have trodden the winepress alone. What we don't realize many times is that before Armageddon, Jesus has come to two locations to fight, and he has fought it all by himself. And then he goes back to heaven to get us. Then we follow him back to Megiddo and the Mount of Olives. Are y'all tracking with me so far? All right, and let me show you the verses here. Revelation 14, verses 18 through 20. This is about the wrath of God. And another angel came out from the altar who had power over fire, and he cried to him who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of the vines of the earth, for the grapes are fully ripe. So the angel thrust the sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and threw it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trampled outside the city. This would be the outside of the city of Jerusalem. And the blood came out of the winepress up to the horse's bridle. Now, which it says here, for 1,600 furlongs. Now, 1,600 furlongs translated to miles is 200 miles. So there is a trail of blood that comes all the way from through that valley and goes all the way to Jerusalem for a total of 200 miles. This is what the scriptures are describing in this great war and this great battle. Now, from Jerusalem to Megiddo, the Tell of Megiddo is 185 miles. So that gives you an idea if the battle, just where the tell is. Now remember, the valley is bigger. The valley is bigger. So you have to add on another 15 miles somewhere to get to the 200 miles the prophet talked about. But if you look at Megiddo in general, the blood is going to be all the way from Megiddo all the way to the city of Jerusalem. Now, if you didn't see, I'm not pushing my videos, it just happened that I did this. If you did not see my YouTube video called Blood to the Horse's Bridle, how many did see it? Raise your hand if you've already seen it. All right. Well, some of y'all need to go to my channel. What's wrong with y'all? You're going to get so full of revelation, you won't sleep at night. Maybe that's why you don't go to the channel. Okay. But Blood to the Horse's Bridle is a right way of measuring. It is impossible. And this is where skeptics have always come to me and said, that's a stupid scripture, because anybody knows that blood soaks into the earth, even in a battle. Sometimes you'll see blood on equipment. But first of all, we don't use horses anymore. That's criticism number one. Well, Jesus is going to have one. And we're going to be on them. Okay, let's kill that argument up front. But we know that there's no way that there could be blood up to the bridle of a horse. Now, we have a lady here who has horses, and she knows all about horses, okay? And so she knows how tall a horse is up to the bridle. So I have been to her farm, Pam and I have, and so she has horses. So the bridle is about right here. I'm 6 foot tall, right? So blood up to there, never going to happen. They criticize that verse. That is not how they measured back in that day. They would measure to the knee of the horse. They would measure to the underbelly of the horse. If you were in a battle, how many bodies were there? We pass bodies up to the belly of the horse. The bridle of the horse is not describing pints of blood or gallons of blood. It is describing the bodies that are piled up. The blood coming from the dead is up to the horse's bridle, which is over, I'm going to estimate here, depends on the horse, 5 feet high. And when you understand there's a 200 million man army that marches across the Euphrates River, and they are part of that battle, you can understand how the blood would be 200 miles and how it would actually be piles and piles and piles of human bodies. Is anybody still tracking with me? Would you say amen just for a moment? Amen? So when this army comes at the end of the tribulation and starts coming across the dried up Euphrates River, coming into Lebanon and into Israel through the Golan Heights area, and coming to the city of Jerusalem, there's going to be a massive army which is going to be there. Now, Zechariah tells you a little bit about what's going to happen. It's in chapter 14, verse 2. I will make Jerusalem a cup of trembling in the last days. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 3, he says, Jerusalem shall become a burdensome stone. Zechariah 14, verse 2 also says, I will gather all nations against Jerusalem. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 9 indicates that God will destroy all nations that come against Jerusalem. And then Zechariah chapter 13 verse 11 says this, in that day there will be a great mourning in Jerusalem as the mourning of Hadad-Rimon in the valley of Megiddon. Now, what in the world is this Hadad-Rimon in the valley of Megiddon? Hadad-Rimon is a place that used to exist in Megiddo where Josiah, the last king of Judah, was fatally wounded. So he's giving you an identification of an Old Testament story to indicate the location. And Megiddon is the Hebrew term for Megiddo. So he's talking about the same area that we're talking about called the Valley of Megiddo or the Battle of Armageddon. And it is in the center of Israel where this is going to take place. I got to tell you something funny. I'm going to get to the Battle of Mapham of the Messiah here in just a moment. But I remember when the Gulf War broke out that everybody was like, the journalist, it was pretty amazing. They were kind of getting into prophecy and, you know, this is an Armageddon moment and this could be the end of the world. And what if Saddam does have nukes? I mean, they were freaking everybody. Does anybody remember this? Am I too old? Remember the Gulf War? Okay. And then one guy got on and said, is it possible, according to some apocalyptic people, that this is the Battle of Armageddon? And I hit myself on the head and said, would you go to Bible school or listen to my tapes? It's the wrong location. Megiddo is not Iraq. It's in Israel. Wrong location. And they were sincere. You understand? They're using terms to draw you in. It's called hook bait. So anyway, I want to show you now. Now I'm going to give you the order of what's going to happen. After the marriage supper of the Lamb, at some point and at some moment, Jesus will saddle up a white stallion. It is important that you understand a white stallion. In the Roman time, the emperor who conquered the other emperor would take his garment and cut it off back here. And I'm not trying to be crude. I'm telling you the truth. And make him bare-assed. And it's where we get the word embarrassed. I said that in John Hagee's church. He liked to roll off his seat. I looked at him. He said, I've never heard that one, brother. Never heard that one. Okay. Then the emperor who conquered always rode a white stallion. The white stallion was an emblem of victory and conquering. So Jesus did not pick, I love dark horses, the black stallions, I love those. But he picks a white stallion because in his day that represented, I'm the King of Kings. I'm the Lord of Lords. I'm coming back to rule and reign. That's why the white lightning, the white stallion that Jesus has chosen. Now, there's going to be three fronts for this war. And I'm going to give them to you from the Bible. And remember, he does this by himself. That's why Isaiah said, who is this that's come? I'll get the verse in a moment. I don't want to get ahead of myself. But he talks about the garment of this Messiah being dipped in blood. And that's what John saw in the 19th chapter of Revelation when Jesus is on that white horse. Where'd the blood come from? Here's where it comes from. The first thing that Jesus does is come immediately like light, faster than lightning, at the speed of thought, out of the third heaven where heaven is. And he has the stallion and he goes to the area of Judah or Judea. This is the first place of the battle. Judea is the area of Jerusalem and the surrounding area. Now remember, Christ is called in Revelation 5:5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah. So he wants to save his tribe first from the destruction of the Antichrist and the invading armies. So Judah includes Jerusalem. It also includes Jericho. It includes Bethlehem, where he was born, and it also includes the entire area of what we call in the Bible the Judean wilderness. Now, this deliverance of Judah or Judea is predicted, and listen to what Isaiah said in Isaiah 31, 4 through 5, and this is the prophecy. Like a lion, lion, get it? Lion of Judah. Like a lion and the young lion roaring on its prey, so shall the Lord of hosts come down. Hello. Yeah. Come down. Are y'all with me? Yeah. He's coming from heaven, right? Come down to fight for Mount Zion and for the hill thereof. As birds flying, so the Lord of hosts will defend Jerusalem. Defending also, he will deliver it and passing over. So he comes on the stallion and he comes to that area. Now you can hear the latest word on the last days that reveals details of where we are now and what and where major events will happen in the near future from the world's leading prophetic teachers. The 2023 Prophetic Summit is now available to everyone on 13 CDs or on 13 DVDs and also available on an audio flash drive. Here are the speakers and their messages. Jonathan Kahn explained how the demon gods have returned. Lance Wallnau used a whiteboard and taught, this is about to change everything. And also the eye-opening message, heaven is about to do an earth invasion. Mark Biltz used Hebrew charts and pictures to illustrate his messages called Connecting the Dots and one called The Stunning Harbingers of Things to Come. Bill Cloud, a master of Hebrew, taught on the spirit of prophecy and the spirit of idolatry. He also revealed the secret of repairing the breach. Jimmy Evans took us on a fascinating journey from the 1800s to this present age, explaining the timeline of prophetic events. Now, here's what I did. I used numerous scriptures and pictures to illustrate these five messages. Something I have missed concerning the pre-tribulation rapture. The next message was called The Secret of the Wedding and the Marriage of the King. You will also hear in this series the fascinating revelation from the book of Daniel called the future millennial events and the first 75 days when Jesus rules on earth. You will also discover amazing details when Christ returns to earth in the message, White Lightning, the King Messiah, and his battle map. In my fifth message, discover the four biggest things that will happen just before the rapture of the church. Now, you will enjoy 13 hours, imagine that, 13 hours of dynamic prophetic teaching that will leave you encouraged, excited, and informed about the last days. The CD album is $65, and the offer number for that is 23PS-CD. The DVD album is $95, and that offer number is 23PS-DVD. Now, the DVDs will have all the pictures and the PowerPoints and the scriptures that were on the screens. Don't forget that. The audio flash drive is also available for $65 by requesting it and using offer number 23PS-USB. You can call toll-free at 1-888-21-BREAD or order online at our website at perrystone.org or send the offer number and send us a note with the check to Perry Stone Ministries, P.O. Box 3595, Cleveland, Tennessee 37320. I can guarantee you this. This is going to be the best prophetic series in the 47-year history of our ministry. You will be prepared. You will be informed. You will know the times and seasons, and you will know what to do. So go ahead and order the 13 CDs or the DVD album or the 13 messages that are on the audio flash drive and do it today. God bless you.
The beautiful fall months are coming to Tennessee, and that means the 37th annual Main Event Camp Meeting at Omega Center International in Cleveland, Tennessee. Beginning Tuesday night, October 3rd, through Saturday morning, October 7th, join Perry Stone, Jensen Franklin, Ron Carpenter, and John Kilpatrick, along with Lendell Cooley and his team, who'll be leading us in worship. Also joining as featured guests will be the Crab Family. A nursery is provided nightly for ages 1 through 4, and a Kids Fest Church during the evening and morning services. Pam Stone's Fall Festival is planned for Saturday afternoon, with great food, special booths, kids' playground, and music by Southbound. And Perry will be having a book signing. There is no fee to register to attend, but you must register at perrystone.org. Make unforgettable memories at what is called the greatest camp meeting all year long.
Well, listen to me very carefully. I have heard a lot of messages. I've heard tens of thousands of prophetic speakers since I was 18 years of age on cassettes. Boy, that's dating me, isn't it? DVDs, audio, you go to YouTube channel. I never heard so many ministers. There was ministers at this conference, 13 messages, that preached things I had never heard in my life. And I'm like, man, I've been preaching 47 years and I have over 170,000 hours of Bible study. And that's not an exaggeration from the age of 16 to today. I've never heard this. And I have to go back and re-listen to some of these messages over and over again. So I want you to get this series. And remember that when you get it, you're helping keep Manifest on the air. I'm going to go through this very quickly. We're coming to Family Faith Church, Willis Campus, August 18th and 19th there in Willis, Texas. Huntsville, Texas, August the 20th, Christ Temple in Huntington, West Virginia, August the 25th to 27th. Gateway Church, one service only September 10th. Russellville, Alabama, and Oak Grove, Arkansas. You guys are so great to come out down there from the Branson area. This is near Branson, Missouri, in that area. That's going to be September the 20th, one service only. And of course, I've told you I'm coming to San Diego to the Morris Sorrento Legacy Center for one service as well. San Diego, I've never been to San Diego, California. So you can contact their ministry. Well, go to our website at perrystone.org, Perry Stone Ministries Facebook page, Perry Stone YouTube channel. This is how you stay in touch with us. And thank you for your prayers and support. And I'll see you next week on Manifest.
Perry Stone invites you to join him for his 2023 Israel tour. The dates are November 19th through the 28th. There is also an optional tour to the country of Jordan that includes Petra and much more. Call 1-888-321-3629 or visit perrystone.org for more information and how to register. Seating is limited, so call today.